Blog Talk Radio.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest, you're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love, you're my hand, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug, you're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun, you're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter, you're my friend to the end, you're my dreams, you're my father, you're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround, I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds, you're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow, you're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow, you're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that.
All that I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Because what I have is more than I deserve or could ever imagine. How do I get back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan. But there's a million things that I can be grateful for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Cynthia Fontaine. Oh, I'm running a few minutes behind here, so I apologize. I am still getting set up. I seem to have lost my headphones. I just got my daughter back off to college about an hour and a half ago. So I've been dealing with that, helping making sure she's all packed up, have everything that she needs. And I'm also working on a huge fundraising project right now, which involves a very dear friend of mine and a student, a longtime student, who actually earned a certification last year in advanced studies with me in meditation and metaphysics. And her name is Emily. And if you would like to know more about Emily, you can go on my Facebook page, check out Emily's story a little bit. Also, there is an event on my Facebook that is Help Emily's Heart Fund, and I am hosting a gallery reading fundraiser, also with raffles and silent auction and some entertainment and refreshments on February 8th at the FOP Lodge in Middletown, Rhode Island. So if any local people or anybody wants to fly in, come on in and join us for the event. Emily has a very rare cardiac condition. Well, her condition, the diagnosis isn't, it is rare, but it's not extremely rare. But hers is unique because she has two different heart defects, which makes it very rare, and the doctors haven't ever seen this combination before. And Emily is the most wonderful, incredible, caring person who would, you know, does anything for anyone. And so I'm organizing this event, and I'm hoping to raise about $8,000, which is what Emily needs to travel out to the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. She's been in the care of doctors in Boston at Tufts for a year and a half now, and unfortunately, the doctors at Tufts have taken her as far as they can go with their knowledge, and the Cleveland Clinic has stepped in, and they think they can help her further, and it looks like that a possible heart transplant is on the table for her, which, you know, that's pretty big. Can you even imagine what that surgery involves? And I mean, just it's amazing, and the cost of it is astronomical. So we're working on that, and I've been really tied up with that this morning. So I apologize because I have not organized a tight show today because of getting Ryan back to school this morning, and I've had some things come up with the fundraiser that were urgent. Anyway, so that being said, it actually did give me the topic for today's show, which I love how life happens for me in particular, because things that are going on in my life often give me the topics for my show. You know, sometimes things that are going on with my clients or friends and things like that give me topics, or things that are going on in the media, but most often it's things that come up in my own life, whether, you know, it's directly related to me or people I care about. So today's show is on the topic of assuming. If you've listened to the show before, you know that I am in the program, the Master Healers Program at the Rees Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine in Massachusetts. And we just had a whole weekend learning about assuming and how deadly assuming can be. Now, I'm sure you have all heard the term, when you assume things, you make an ass out of, let's see, how does it go? When you assume things, you make an ass out of you and you make an ass out of me. And I'm just loading the chat room. I apologize, it was not loaded. So if anybody's trying to get into the chat room, it is now loaded. Thank you for your patience. And so that being said, I have a whole new perspective and understanding about, in my mind, in my head, with assumptions about others. And one really important thing that we learned last weekend was how to clear up an assumption with others, and which I find to be extremely valuable, because oftentimes, you know, you may assume something, like you might assume that, you know, your spouse has come home late again, and you might assume that he was with another woman or he was doing something he shouldn't be doing, when in fact that may not have been the case. So, but you've been at home or whatever, and you've been stewing because, and you can fill in whatever, whoever the person is for you, whether it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a child, you know, whatever. But you can fill the person in and apply the situation that would be specific to you. I'm just using the example of, you know, the classic, the husband is late, the wife assumes he's been doing this or doing that. When in fact, it could be that maybe he had a flat tire, but you wouldn't know that, especially if he didn't call. So you assume most likely that he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing. Very often is the case. And then you think about it and you get worked up about it. And then he gets home and you don't even let him get in the door. Maybe you just blurt out, where have you been? Who have you been with? What have you been doing? Or maybe you give him the cold shoulder. Maybe he doesn't get dinner if you cook dinner and do that kind of thing. Or, you know, maybe you go in your room and lock the door. And again, you can apply this to any situation and you can apply it to pretty much any relationship. We've all done it. We assume things all the time, every day, most of us. You know, you assume a person doesn't like you. Or you, because they haven't called, and so you think they've done something wrong, or you've done something wrong. Ooh, I have to sneeze. Hold on, sorry. Ooh. Oh my goodness. Sorry about that. Excuse me. That was a big sneeze. So you assume things every day about people, about your loved ones, about even strangers, okay? You may feel like, and I'll give you a great example. In healer school last weekend, we were preparing to do a new healing, and those of us who are local bring our own massage tables because there are a lot of people in the class who travel from all around the world. We have classmates in New Zealand, from Canada, Canada, California, all over the place, Sweden. And so the local people bring massage tables. So when we are doing our healing, we have enough massage tables for everyone. And if you have a massage table, then typically someone who doesn't have a massage table partners with you for the healing. So we were getting ready to do a healing, and we were looking to be partnered up with people. And I was on the far right side of the room, and there was another woman next to me, another classmate, who also had a massage table. And neither one of us had partners yet. And she turned and asked me if I had a partner. And I said, no, but there are other people on the side of the room who need partners still. Also, and apparently she asked me if I wanted to partner with her, and I didn't hear her say that. And I, in my mind, was just thinking, we both have tables, and so we need to get the people from the other side of the room who don't have partners yet to partner with, because we have the massage tables. So when it came, you know, down to it, all of a sudden that she got some partner from somebody on the other side of the room who didn't have a table. And then I actually ended up working with one of the teachers who lost her vision during class. And so we both got partnered up and went on from that. And I didn't think anything more of it. Well, later in the weekend, while we were doing one of our exercises on assumptions, we were to go to another classmate and clear up an assumption with them. And how you clear up an assumption can be very simple, but most people make it difficult because they want to make excuses and so forth. You just say to an individual, if you have made an assumption about someone or something, you go up to them or on the phone and say, I'd like to clear up an assumption with you.
And then you wait for their response. If they say no, then you have to honor that and just walk away. If they say yes, then you present your assumption. Always staying in the I, never saying, well, you did this or you did that. No. Because this is not about the other person, and this is key. So really listen to these words and take this in. Everybody breathe. Okay, when you make an assumption, it most often has nothing to do with the other person. It's all about you, because we project onto other people, and we also see other people with our we all see other people through our own lives, but people can mirror us, and we don't even realize it very often. So if the person says, when you say, I'd like to clear up an assumption with you, they say, okay, then you turn to them and say, and I'll use the example of my classmate. She came up to me and said, I'd like to clear up an assumption with you. And I said, okay. And I had no idea what she was going to say, because I didn't feel like I had anything that would need to be cleared up with this individual. As it turns out, she assumed, because I didn't partner with her for the healing, that I didn't like her. And I felt so felt for her in that moment. And I had the opportunity to clear up the assumption, because you have a couple of things you can do with this. Sometimes the assumption that the other person makes has a bit of truth to it. And this is where you have the opportunity to step up, own it, and say, I'm sorry, yes, I did, you know, I don't like you. Or, you know, you want to put it a little easier than that, most often. But you want to clear up if there is any truth to the other person's assumption. You want to own it. You want to own it to, you know, have that assumption and try to gloss over it, like if it, you know, if it isn't true, if it's true. So that's the first thing. If there's any truth in their assumption, own the part of it for you that is true. If you're acting like an asshole, then admit it. Own it. That's the best thing you can do. And if you're not, if there's no truth to the assumption, like in this particular case with me, then you have an opportunity to say, oh, wow. You know, because I was really blown away. It didn't occur to me that this was going on for this person. And so I had the opportunity to say it all. And this is my side of it. This is my perspective. And what had happened was, in my thinking, because I can be very in the moment, very present in the moment, and it doesn't matter what's going on around me in the outside, I can be very directed in the moment. So what was going on for me at that time was, I was thinking, okay, well, I know there are other people on the other side of the room, and it's a pretty big room, who still did not have healing partners that needed a partner who had a table. So I was waiting for the people on the other side of the room to connect with us, the two of us that had the tables, to get a partner. And I never heard her say, do you want to, partner together? And, but she assumed I heard it. And then she assumed that I blew her off, that I didn't like her. And really what happened was, I didn't hear her ask me to partner. And my mind, I was clear thinking that, and I said to her, well, there are people on the other side of the room who still need partners. But now, see, it's interesting because that didn't register for her, even though I said that when this was all happening. So you see, sometimes we miss things that other people say. Sometimes we understand them in out of context. And sometimes we just take something to heart. We assume something that isn't true. And again, so this was the case. So I had the opportunity to say to her, you know, that no, that it wasn't the intention. And I apologized for it being misunderstood. So anyway, so that's just a little bit about that. And one thing I realized was that, and I think I talked about this a little bit last week, and this is so funny because it's really very freeing. I am not a person who swears, and that's always been like one of my things is I just have never felt a need to swear. And but I found myself saying after last weekend's class that I am a complete blanking asshole with my assumptions. That was a huge realization for me. And so many of us operate in this mode and don't even realize it. One thing that became very, very clear for me was that I've been having this allergy thing now for about a month and a half, which is a new thing where anything that I put in my mouth, food, even a drink of water, my mouth completely breaks out in like these blisters, and it's very painful. And this has been going on for about, like I said, a month and a half. And I'm scheduled to go in for allergy testing and do all the medical and things of that. What was very interesting was being away at healer school last weekend. For the entire 4 days, I never had the reaction for the entire weekend. I ate and drank everything that, you know, I wanted to, and with spicy foods, cold foods, desserts, you name it, I ate it. And I never had the reaction one time. And my daughter, interestingly, before I had gone to school and I had actually showed her the inside of my mouth, and she was like, wow, well, Mom, you know all this holistic stuff. What would that be? And I said, well, mouth, it's taste buds, it's sensing, it's about pleasure. And, you know, it's part of digesting, so because digestion starts in the mouth. So what am I not digesting, or what am I not, chewing on? What am, where in my life am I not having pleasure? And so I really thought about that and thought about it over the weekend. And I had the best time over the weekend. I laughed more with my classmates over the weekend than I have laughed in years, really, honestly. And that was the key. So I come home from the weekend last Monday night, and then the joy continues. I'm in my core. I'm being present and being focused, and I am really being observant of if my mind is wandering off and making assumptions, especially around with my boyfriend, because I can do that easily, as most of us can. And a very interesting thing happened. I, again, did not have the allergy type of reaction all week. And the one, except for one time, and the one time it flared up a little bit, I stopped, looked at what I was eating, and said, okay, is it the food? Or am I not having fun in my life? How where am I lacking pleasure right now? And I could pinpoint it immediately. The thing that my mind went right to was I was starting to complain or obsess about something with my boyfriend. And as soon as I recognized it and let it go, guess what? It cleared up. And it's been amazing. It had gotten to the point that I didn't want to eat because it was so painful. I was afraid to put food in my mouth. And again, even a drink of water. And this one realization that I was not having pleasure in my life, and this was the result, it was coming out physically. Because oftentimes my body will show up things in its physical body, in its physical presence, when things are going on with me on an emotional level. And many of us are like that. You know, because we go through our days, and whatever your day might look like, you might get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, you may or may not eat breakfast, and then you're out the door, either getting the kids off to school, getting off to work, you know, maybe going off to the gym. However your day starts, most of our days, especially in America, start off in a rush and frazzled. You know, we're always under pressure to do the right thing, be the best mom, be the best spouse, be the best partner, be the best at work, go to the gym and, you know, really look great at the and everything. And you know, life has become a stressful event. Not that life wasn't always stressful, but, you know, really our parents and their parents had different kind of stresses. You know, maybe your grandparents, maybe their stress was having enough food on the table, or having grown enough food in the summer to have enough food for the family through the winter. And that could have been their big stress. I thought I shut off all my things that ring and ding and chime in on my computer before I went on the air, but obviously I didn't. So I apologize. I don't know how to shut that one off. So they have different kind of stressors. You know, they weren't running the kids to soccer practice. They weren't going off to the gym to work out. You know, they may have been going to work in the morning, or they may have been going out, and, you know, to work on the farm. But their stressors were different. And, you know, so many of us are guilty also about putting all this stress on our kids, where they have to go, they have to belong to 3 different after-school programs. They have to be in soccer. They have to be in football. They have to be in dance. They have to be in karate. They, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And some kids are so overscheduled, they never get downtime. And, you know, if you have a house where you only have one child, then fair to say that you want to have activities for your child to be able to do and to be with other kids. I totally understand that, because even though I have 2 children, there are 8 years between my children. And so my oldest one, I always had friends over for the oldest one, because he was really by himself for 8 years. And there weren't a lot of kids in the neighborhood, and he went to school, well, at that time we were still in the town. No, we still lived in the town where he went to school. But anyway, his school classmates, a lot of them lived in different towns because he went to private school. So he didn't know a lot of kids in the neighborhood or in our town, and so I would often have his friends from school come over for play dates. And it was interesting because their mothers didn't understand, because they all had 2, 3, 4 kids. And I'd say, yeah, bring him over. Yeah, it's great. I'll take him for the whole day or a sleepover or whatever. And they were like, are you sure? You know, and this is like the mom with the four kids. Are you sure? I'm like, oh, yes, please. It helps me by having a friend here with Justin. But I give him a lot of opportunity to have just casual social interaction. We tend to overschedule our kids with structured activities, and they don't get a lot of time just to be kids, just to go out and play. How many of your kids know how to play kick the can or, anything like that? Or just play outside without the TV on. How many of your kids do that? Video games actually can be a very positive thing because they do develop great hand-eye coordination, and they can also help create critical thinking skills. So, don't ward off the video games completely, but again, everything in moderation. Okay, so that's totally off topic about assumptions, I guess. And so today's show is on the fly. I hope that, whatever part of the show or all of the show that you listen to, whether live today or on the replay, that you get something useful and helpful out of it. I did not promote the show prior to going on the air because I've just been so flat out busy that I just didn't have time, and I had honestly forgotten about it. So there aren't any live callers on the air today because I didn't send out any memos that I was going to be broadcasting. But so it kind of actually makes for a fun time because I have free reign of doing whatever I want. No, I really actually love when you guys call in. I really do enjoy taking callers, and I enjoy helping you all. And my thing, and this is an assumption that some people make when they call into the show, sometimes they assume that I should only take a minute or two with each caller, and that if somebody's problem doesn't seem to be urgent to them, they don't think I should stay on the call with them. So that's an assumption. And it doesn't have anything to do, actually, with how long I'm on with a caller for. What it has to do with is, and if you do this, really breathe this in and think about this, doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with you. So maybe you could be one of those people who have been waiting on the line to get your call answered. And maybe your call didn't get answered because I take time with people when they call in because I could be the psychic who just says, well, this is what I see. I see a man coming and, maybe I get a name or initials and blah, blah, blah. And that's it. I would so much rather you be in your own power and not give up your future or your power to me or any other psychic or card reader or practitioner out there, okay? Because I can tell you anything and, you can do whatever you want with it. And I'll give you a good example. There are some readers who read and they read with a negative slant. So, and I think I've talked about this before. I had a client many, many, many years ago who had a car accident coming up. And I saw the car accident when I was doing the reading for her. And I could have said to her, oh, my God, I see an accident. It looks really bad, blah, blah, blah. But what I said instead, now I didn't gloss over or ignore the accident because it was clearly there. What I said to her was, when you are driving or when you are a passenger in a vehicle, whoever is driving needs to pay attention. They need to focus on driving and they need to only drive. No texting, no drinking, no eating McDonald's, whatever. And she had the choice to either take the advice and heed it, or she could have ignored it, or she could have blown, you know, really assumed, oh my God, this is going to be a bad accident. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. She could have gone off and spent her whole retirement thinking she was going to die in an accident or something crazy like that, and then come back to me and said, well, you said I was going to have an accident. I spent my whole retirement. Okay. So that's how assumptions can work. So if you're not clear about something, or even if you think you're clear about something, always make sure you have complete clarification and go to the other person and say, I'd like to clear up an assumption with you. Okay. So as it turned out, she had the accident. It was ended up being a fender bender. She just broke an arm, which, you know, in the scheme of things is small potatoes. So my whole thing about giving up your power to psychics or to tarot card readers or whatever it is that you like to do is don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give it to me. Don't give it to anybody else. Empower yourself and, you know, learn tools that you'll have to be able to have a better life so that you don't need people like me. And don't get me wrong. Even I consult someone, you know, I have people that I work with and I do that occasionally. And, you know, it's really for confirmation to know what I already know. But I learned the hard way not to give up my power to other people. Where I had an instance, oh, I don't know, probably more than 25 years ago, where I had been going to a card reader. And honestly, I was seeing her every week because back then, I didn't know that that was not a good thing to do. So I was seeing this card reader every week, and she was only $5. So, you know, I was like, oh, $5. Yeah, this is great. And so she was telling me things that she saw in the cards. And again, people have different skill levels, whether you're a psychic or you're a card reader. Everybody is at different levels. And, some people are better than others. Well, that being said, and this woman turned out to be not that great because she told me things that totally weren't true, that, you know, had no validity to them whatsoever, and kept insisting that my ex-husband was going to get killed in a car accident. And I had a car accident while I was driving his car, and somebody that I was involved in the accident with did actually pass away. It, you know, fortunately, it wasn't my fault for me, even though that incident really shaped my life and changed my life from that point on, even though it wasn't my fault. But I went back to the woman and kept saying, you can't be right. You've got to have seen this accident that I was driving my husband's car. And she insisted, no, no, no. So I gave up my power and said, well, okay, she must be right because she's still insisting that my ex-husband, my then husband, was going to die in a car accident. And I made some big choices in my life at that point that I would not have made had I not had that guidance. And so I own it and I take responsibility for my choices that I've made. And now I look back and say, well, you know, I'm not happy about the way I made the choices. And I would have preferred to have maybe done it, you know, pursued this situation in a different way. I didn't. And so I had some regrets around that. But for many, many years, I didn't own my part of the responsibility in giving up my power to this individual. And now I understand that, you know, of course, there are many levels that people are at in this work, just like in any work, whether you're a pianist or a golf player or a computer technologist. You know, or a doctor or a lawyer or even delivering the mail. some people are just better at whatever it is that you do than others. And maybe you're the one who's really good at what you do. So what I learned was that she wasn't that good at what she did. And but I assumed she was really good at what she did because she had a lot of clients. Fact was, she had a lot of clients because she was so cheap. You know, I mean, nobody did readings for $5. That was ridiculous. But that's how she earned her living. And she had a lot of clients because she was cheap. And not saying that, you know, she probably did hit some things with some people. So what I learned is, you know, in this field, just like any other, there are people who are better than others in this field. And also I learned that it's important not to give up your power to someone who seems to be in authority, like someone like me, a psychic, no matter what I tell you, because it's your life. I just need to take a quick drink here. And I'm drinking coffee, not alcohol, just in case anybody has any thoughts about that. In case anybody's making any assumptions about what I'm drinking, it's coffee. Because, see, we can assume things. Someone may hear or, you know, listening now live or listening to the replay in the future. Oh, you know, maybe they're listening to it at night and don't even think about it, that it was recorded during the day. Not that it matters, but maybe they're thinking at night and maybe they hear me say, oh, she's taking a drink. I wonder if she's having a glass of wine. So see how we can assume things? And then, you know, the mind can go off and say, well, if she's drinking a glass of wine and she's on the radio, she must be an alcoholic. Oh, my goodness. The mind can just go in crazy directions. And I'm not saying that this applies to all of you, but my mind can work like that, and I'm sure yours can too. So I'm just chuckling at myself here because see how our mind can make things up? Here I am just drinking a cup of coffee. But our mind can make up all kinds of wonderful and crazy things. So what are some of the things that you make up in your mind? You know, what are they? Start doing an inventory. And if you have made assumptions with other people, ask to clear those assumptions up. And, you know, don't expect that everybody is going to suddenly be perfect in your world around you if you're going to be on this clearing up of assumption mission, because it may be that someone who you have made an assumption with, and it could be something that really stresses you out. But it could be an assumption that does have some validity to it, or it could be something that you're just being a complete blanking asshole about in your own mind. But the only way to really know is to ask the other person. Now, some people may own up to whatever it is that they, you know, have. There's truth in the assumption. You know, and again, going back to my experience at school, where if there were any truth in the assumption that I did ignore my classmate and that I didn't like her, then the right thing to do for me would have been to admit that. Because if that were true and I didn't admit it, then it creates bad karma. And we all have a built-in lie detector test on top of this, where soul to soul, if somebody lies to us, our soul knows it. Breathe that in. So if you're a person who tells small mistruths, maybe you think that maybe you want to save somebody's feelings, or, you know, I could have easily said, oh, no, honey, it's not like that. I like you very much. And then been inside, oh, I can't stand that person. Well, if I have done that, I would have been creating bad karma for myself with this person. And it would not have cleared the assumption. And even though I could have said that to her, it would be dishonest. It would not have cleared the air. Now, if it were true that I didn't like her and I owned my part and said, you know, even if I just said something like, I'm not sure what it is, but I really, I'm a little bugged by you. That would be hard for that person to hear. But then, honestly, it clears the air. And I'm not saying go all of a sudden go out and bash everybody. You know, you have to be discerning. But also, you know, try to be clear in your communication, which is a big thing, because so many times we think we're communicating a message clearly. And however we're communicating it, the person on the receiving end is receiving it completely different than the way that we have portrayed it. So a good way also to stop assumptions before they even happen is when, if you're in a conversation with somebody, especially if it's, you know, a meaningful and deep subject, you want to repeat back to them what they have said and say, you can say something like, so let me repeat this back to you so I'm sure that I'm clear about what you said. Because even one word change can totally change the whole context of the conversation. So that's a way that you can stop assumptions before they even happen. And that way you're clear that you're hearing what the other person is saying. So when you go and present an assumption to somebody, you can hope that they would own if there's any truth to the assumption. But many people will not be able to do that. So don't expect perfection right out of the box the first time you try to do this. And if somebody has an assumption with you, then be honest about it if there's truth to it. And if there's not, then you have an opportunity to give more information as to why there isn't truth to it. Don't try to talk your way or bargain your way out of something that's true if it's true. And also, you know, so if somebody comes to you and has an assumption, again, be honest. And then if you go to someone with an assumption, hopefully they'll be able to be honest about it if there's some truth in it for them. Just keep working at it. Just keep practicing it. And if this is something new for you, once you go out into your field of people, family, whatever, and you start acting in this way, they may be like, wow, what's going on? They're being really weird. That's okay. It's going to happen. Anytime you do different things differently or change things up a little bit, people are going to push up against you. And so you can assume that you might get some resistance. And if you do, you can just say, wow, I assume that you're feeling very resistant to me right now. And then the person could say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. Anyway, I'm just having a little fun with you. So often, again, assumptions are that we are projecting about ourselves, and oftentimes it can be a part that we don't like, onto the other person, or the person is mirroring some behavior in ourselves. Now, again, it's not always the case. Sometimes there is some truth in our assumptions with the other person. So that's the lesson for today. I hope that you all get a little something out of it. And I hope that, you know, you can take that tool and utilize it. And so how to find me when I'm off of Blog Talk Radio is really simple. My website, CynthiaFontaine.com, C-Y-N-T-H. I can't even spell my name today. I'm sorry. I just was looking at the birds flying out my window. Oh, my gosh. I'm so distracted. This never happens when I'm on the call. Funny. My website is my name, CynthiaFontaine.com, CynthiaFontaine. And I am on Facebook, so look for me, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island medium. And check out my work. You know, if you are interested in some coaching sessions or if you would like a reading, then shoot me an email, send me a message on Facebook, and I would be happy to set something up for you. So again, if you're local and you're interested in participating in the fundraiser that I'm involved in, that will be February 8th at the FOP Lodge on Mitchell's Lane in Middletown, Rhode Island. It is a psychic event. It is a gallery reading, which is a large group reading where you have an opportunity to be read, picked out of the group, and to have a reading, depending on if any of your people come through or not, any of your spirit people. Have some fun. We're going to have raffles. We're going to have hopefully silent auction. There'll be some refreshments. So it's a chance to come together, help out a fabulous human being, have some fun with me, and just, a good way to spend a winter's day, because if you're in the Northeast, we are in the thick of winter, or actually in the whole top end of the country. It's 12 degrees here today, which is warmer than it was last week. Last week we had -2. But we haven't had a lot of snow yet, just a little dusting here and there. I know other places of the country have had quite a lot of snow. All right, so we only have 5 minutes left. I can talk and talk and talk for an hour about nothing. No, really, I hope that some of this was helpful for you today, whether you're listening live or to the replay. And so check me out on Facebook. If you haven't liked my page, jump over there and do that. And also check out my line of all-natural bath and body alchemy of the earth, either on the website and also has a Facebook page as well. So I love you guys all so much, and I love having fun with you. So look for me next week. I am sort of, again, in fluctuation about keeping the show on Wednesdays. I know a lot of my listeners really like the Thursday show. So I'll have to see how my schedule works around this next couple of weeks or so. But my schedule is getting really packed. And if you are in the local Rhode Island, Massachusetts area and would like to host me for a group or gallery type reading at your home or business, please contact me. I do events for a minimum of 10 people, and I would be happy to set that up for you. I have a lot of weekends that are already booked, but I do have some available slots between now and the end of March, but it's filling up quickly. So I love you all so much. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. I'm on it all. Check out my website, and I'll see you next week. I love you all. Have a great and blessed week.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest. You're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love. You're my hand, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug. You're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun. You're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter. You're my friend till the end, you're my dreams, you're my father. You're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround. I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds. You're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow. You're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow. You're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that.
All that I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Purpose, everything
all that I am.
day I sit and pray, cause what I have is more than I deserve or could ever imagine. How do I give back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan, but there's a million things that I can be grateful for.
Things that exist, the small things are the bliss, the gift to realize that everything is a gift.